This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork eating America lover, Big Al. How you doing, Al?
Hey, I'm doing great, Vito. Great to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. I'm doing well, thank you. It's Monday, September 19, and it's this year has rapidly gone by. I mean, only 3 months until Christmas.
Tell me about it.
And Hanukkah. So sorry, yeah, yeah.
And
right
Kwanzaa.
Around the corner. And and Kwanzaa, yeah, the fictitious holiday made up by some black supremacists. So yesterday, the PGA Tour kicked off their 2023 wraparound season in Napa, California, and it was the Fortinet tournament. And what a finishing yesterday! I mean, Max Homa was the defending champion, and Homa was in or near the lead all 4 days, including the UK's Danny Willett and the USA rookie Lauer. And the rookie had a tough Sunday, and he fell out of the lead, and he really never challenged. But he played well, and good for Lauer. He's going to be an up-and-comer. But Willett took charge and had a two-shot lead going into, I think, the 13th or the 10th hole anyways. And then he bogeyed, and it was a one-shot lead. But, man, I don't know if you saw it, Al, but on the 15th hole, Willett's drive goes right behind a tree. Now, he's got to hook this shot. And he's got to start it out of bounds and hook the shot onto the green. And he does exactly that, and he knocks the ball within 21 feet of the pin. And then I think he drained the putt for a birdie, and it was the shot of the tournament, and it was unbelievable. And then Willett, who had a one-shot lead, gets it to two shots, and he makes a par on 17, a beautiful eight-footer to save par. But then Homa birdies the 17th hole to close within one shot. On the 18th hole, a par five, Willett knocks his third shot 3 feet, 7 inches. Homa tried to go for the green in two. He ends up in a greenside bunker, and it's a pretty long bunker shot because there's a lot of turf area between the bunker and the green, and he hits it's wet, it's raining. He misses it. Doesn't catch it right. It ends up on the grass between the bunker and the green on an upslope. And you're thinking, oh, well, you know, first of all, well, let's get a 3-foot, 7-inch putt. He's got a one-shot lead. He drains it. He's got a two-shot lead, and the best that Homa could do is you know, chip it in for a birdie. And I'll be damned, Homa takes a chip. It's a tough chip up onto the hill, and what you don't realize is how severely sloped the green is down from his location then downward, and he chips it in. Dead center, bam, it hits the pin, goes right in the hole. It's a birdie four, and now Homa is tied for the lead. Lower, you know, finishes it out. Now you got Ouellette. He's got a 3-foot, 7-inch putt to win. And the only other win that he had on the PGA Tour was winning the Masters like about 5 years ago. But he's been playing so well. And he's been putting brilliantly. And he's perusing the putt. He stands over it. He kneels down. He looks at the putt. He strokes the putt, and he misses it. And not only does he miss it, the ball runs 5 feet past the hole after lipping out. And all of a sudden, he's got a 5-footer to come back to tie for the lead. And you're thinking, okay, he saw how that putt broke. And the odd thing was, and I was talking to my brother-in-law, if you look his initial setup, he has it set up to the inside right of the hole, which is the right point. And then he, at the last second before he strokes the putt, he sets up his putter straight, which means the ball is dead center, but the thing breaks to the left, the putt breaks to the left, and he misses the freaking putt. He 3-putts from 3 feet 7 inches. Not only that, all he had to do is make the putt and they go into extra innings, but he misses the par putt and he ends up losing the tournament. And the chip in birdie by Homa was just absolutely at the right time, and he wins the tournament and he defends his championship. And it was like, holy crap, what just happened? And I couldn't believe that he missed the putt. Oh my God.
They're human.
Yes.
I had a couple of those this weekend.
Did you really?
I know what it feels like. Your brain gets in the middle of an easy putt. These guys should be beyond that, but it was sad yet exhilarating to watch, and made me happier about my 3-putts.
And you know, when they panned back, what you don't realize was how much of a slope he was on, a downhill slope he was on. You don't see that from some of the camera angles, but when they panned out from the side, you see the slope, and it's like, oh my God, what a devastating loss for Ouellette. Oh, I just hope, you know, he's been playing so well, and I hope he's okay. You know, hey, shrug it off. You came in second. You had a great round. You're in next week. But what a finish. It was a shocker, but congratulations to Max Homa, and he notches his fifth PGA Tour victory, and it's 2-4 in that championships. And so what he just proved, man, never give up. And just when you think that he was done after that poor bunker shot, he freaking drains the chip. I mean, dang, it was beautiful.
I tell you, when I'm 3-putt like that, it usually costs me a couple of bucks, $6 usually maxed out, but it costs poor Danny Willett $600,000.
Ooh, ow.
Because the payout for Max Homa was $1.44 million. Danny Willett, $872,000, and Taylor Montgomery at $552,000 for coming in third. But meanwhile, on the other side at the LIV Golf Tournament in Chicago, number two in the world, Cameron Smith, won, and he pulled in a cool $4 million. That's more than twice that Max Homa made. Dustin Johnson and Peter Whelan, they tied for second and put in $1.82 million at second, still earning Max Homa. And then tied for fourth, Sergio Garcia and Joaquin Niemann. All these big names, Vito. $1,012,000 for the two golfers tied for fourth. And did you watch any of the championship tour?
No, I missed the champions tour.
Oh, boy, I tell you, I love watching the old guys play. Steve Stricker, he came in first, Carlson, and then Ernie Els came in third. It's good to see Ernie up at the top of the leaderboard. Now, guess what the payouts are for the old guys, the 50-plus?
It's like 330,000 or something like that.
Yeah, 300,000 for first, 176 for second, and Ernie 144. Now,
yeah, they only
the championship tour, that's part of the PGA, right?
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, it is the champions. Yeah,
wow.
They do a great job. It's nice to see the old guys back in action. And I missed it yesterday, but I do like watching it. I enjoy enjoy watching Bernard Langer at 64 years old shoot 67, 65, and just continue to absolutely play just brilliant golf after 40 years of playing. And it's just that man is just a machine. He's just it's just beautiful to watch.
Yeah, gives us hope. The old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
and
why
I did
do you think
watch
the PGA is so why do you think the PGA is so tight on the payouts for the championship tour?
Oh, because they don't have the Saudi Arabians giving them $2 billion, but that's, you know, I'm not going to get into it over the – we got more stuff to talk about.
Okay.
I really don't give a shit about the Saudi LIV tour, so it doesn't really matter.
That's why I asked.
It's just fun to watch the old guys and Ernie Els to see how his career is. You know, he's done something. His putting has been great, and it is kind of cool watching those guys. And it's like, you know, one of these days, you know, lightning might strike.
Mm-hmm.
But TomSegudoGolf.com, that's what I've been working on. So
yeah, you sent me the video. It was excellent, very helpful.
Yeah, I didn't quite play as well yesterday, but there were the majority of holes where it really once I settled down, it was like, oh my god, it just the sound again off the club is just incredible. I just love it. I'm hooked right now. It's like I watch that video like every night. I watch this different video things, but mostly the same couple that I was hooked on, and I'm really really enjoying his style. And it's really helping. And the idea is to relax. And I know it's new, and I don't really care what I shoot because I know it's a new system, even though I have the fundamentals. But man, it's just just absolutely love it. I'm just excited again. I go to the range, and you know, I could stay there for two, 3 hours just hitting balls because I just absolutely love this teaching method. So. TomSegudoGolf.com, by the way. The LPGA was in Portland for the amazing CRE Portland Classic. America's Andrea Lee came out on top with a score of 19 under par, besting Danielle Darcui by one shot. And it was great playing by Andrea. And I think it was her first LPGA Tour victory, and this lady has been knocking on the door. She's in her second year, and I think once she wins, and I think she has, I think it'll open up give her more confidence, and I think we'll start seeing this lady on the leaderboard. This is her second year on the LPGA, so you know it just takes that one time like Scottie Scheffler to win, and then all of a sudden it kind of validates why you're there. Now, not everybody is that way, certainly, but there are some talented ones, and certainly Andrea Lee is talented. So it was good to watch. I just love watching the ladies play as well. They get some beautiful swings, and you just kind of can watch how they, you know, and I think you and I talked about that. You can actually watch how they play, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Queen Elizabeth II's funeral was today. Joe Biden is such an imbecile. He's an elite horse's ass, has a hard time following directions, including his handlers. You know, the Brits, including Buckingham Palace, had requested all of the world leaders who are in attendance to, you know, take the buses because of the traffic that is going to had. And Sue sent me a video link. It was about 20 seconds, 25 seconds. And there it is. You know, it explained it all about Joe Biden and, you know, the fact that him occupying the White House, he was stuck in traffic. Now, it's unbelievable that the White House could be this ignorant, this stupid. You know, why couldn't they adhere to Buckingham Palace's request and have blowhard Biden take a bus? But we all know why. okay? It's because they don't know what would happen with Joe if he gets separated from Jill. And all he would know is that he's there for Queen Elizabeth II. He could end up on a bus to take the Queen Elizabeth II ship back to America across the Atlantic. And that's what they're afraid of when a dementia patient gets separated from their handler. Who knows where they could end up with. And Joe probably knew about Queen Elizabeth II, and he would end up on the Queen Mary going to New York. I mean, that's what their fear is. So he couldn't look any more. So they couldn't comply with the request. And I just thought it was absolutely fitting that here we get Joe Biden is stuck in traffic. I mean, I don't get this. I really don't. All world leaders were asked to take the buses due to traffic conditions in London, and Buckingham Palace would provide the security. And certainly there would be enough security to provide for this imbecile, and they can't follow instructions. But I don't know. Did you watch any of it? Because I hadn't.
No, I wasn't overly interested, but this is the first I heard about the story about Biden not following the recommendations from Buckingham Palace at a world event like this, which is very, very important for our leaders to be there and to act like adults and not embarrass the United States of America. And Biden, of course, failed on all counts.
Yeah, I mean, they took the beast and they just, you know, they expected to drive down, you know, in the middle of London. And of course, they've had the procession. There's millions of people. And it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Which is older, Biden or the Queen Mary ship? Good question, Big. Anyways, well, and the weather. Torrential rains from Hurricane Fiona causing massive flooding in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, also knocking out energy grids, and heavy rains, not winds, but heavy rains are dumping on the island, and 1,000 residents who had been stranded had to be rescued thus far, but conditions remain very dangerous as Hurricane Fiona has gotten up to 90 miles an hour, which makes it now a hurricane. Reports are that it's going to be heading north by northwest, which means it will impact the island of Bermuda. And they think at that point, if it gets over the waters, it could reach a Category 3 before it hits or while it hits Bermuda. So the good thing is the expected path takes the storm away from the United States coastline, but it could. As it goes further north, it could impact Canada. So, man, it was started out as a tropical storm, but it's only going 9 miles an hour, so it's dumping a crap load of rain on the island. So we have to watch that. And they continue to get pounded between Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. Jeez, man.
Last big hurricane, they all came to Florida. Is there anybody left in Puerto Rico? That's the big question.
Yeah, Florida.
I sure don't think they rebuilt since the last hurricane several years ago, but I speculate.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of speculation, Al, we have Joe Biden opening his mouth to change feet once again. So yesterday, Biden was on 60 Minutes, and he was asked some questions about Taiwan and China. Communist China. And of course, you know, we know that Taiwan is a very serious issue. And certainly the Chinese now understand that the United States has a weak leader. And given what's happened with Russia and Ukraine, you know, will China make a move to take Taiwan and do it by force? Now, yesterday, Joe Biden once again fanned the flames of an adversary when he stated that he would send troops, U.S. troops, to Taiwan to defend Taiwan's borders. And ironically, Joe Obama hasn't done anything to defend U.S. borders, but we could possibly be engaged once again with communist China halfway across the world, And we haven't learned a damn thing from our history. And history tells us we've got two incidences with communist China, one in Korea, the Korean War, and the other the Vietnam War. Now, I'm not saying this is a defeatist attitude, but right now, the United States is in no position to engage in any type of war or to, I don't know, promote or encourage war. Now, Taiwan, they have resources. They have rich resources, and we certainly, you know, benefit from Taiwan's semiconductor and computer knowledge, definitely, and the resources there. But why Joe Biden would go on national TV and make such a statement after Korea War left 54,246 dead Americans and we walked away from Korea. 103,284 were wounded. 8,200 were missing. The Vietnam War, which the communist Chinese were supporting the North Vietnamese, arming them, manning them. The Vietnam War left 58,220 Americans dead, 153,303 wounded, 1,587 missing. And now Joe Obama wants to commit U.S. troops to fight in Taiwan? I mean, have we learned nothing from history? How reckless a man with dementia would be this ignorant of history and make such claims? The absurdity of his claims also hit the White House because, once again, the White House is backtracking on Biden's comments. So Biden ruins the U.S. economy. He's destroying U.S. sovereignty with his open border globalist U.N. policies, and now he's antagonizing yet another communist country. I mean, can Joe Biden be any more of a disaster than he already is?
Yes. On May 24th, 2022, the headline reads, Biden walks back bombshell Taiwan comments for third time. President Biden walked back an assertion that the U.S. would intervene militarily to defend Taiwan against China for the third time of his presidency on Tuesday. That's Tuesday, May 24th. What are we in now? September 19th?
Yeah.
And Biden stated unequivocally that the U.S. would send the military to defend Taiwan if China invaded the island nation. It was appeared to announce the bombshell change in U.S. policy toward Taiwan, only to have the White House officials walk it back within hours. And that's exactly what happened September 18th.
I mean, this is, again, you know, the left wing was so intent on painting, you know, President Trump as mentally unstable, which he was not and is not. And yet we actually have a situation with this man that's occupying the White House who is mentally unstable. You know, no one knows what the man's going to say. And when he does say something, it's almost like everyone holds their breath. And quickly, once again, you said May 24th, they had to walk back his comments for a third time. And now they have to walk back his comments yet once again. Here it is, a one-on-one interview. Because let's face it, Joe Biden seldom does interviews. And it's all by it, there's a reason for that. And last night was a clear indication of why the White House will not prance this guy in front of the media by himself, because he doesn't know what is going to be said. They don't know what kind of diarrhea of the mouth this guy is going to have. Remember, it was back in 2019 at a forum where he had diarrhea of the mouth, and he exposed the fact that Joe Biden and Barack Obama, president at the time, withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee for the Ukrainians. And that started an absolute storm in Washington, D.C., so much so that Nancy Pelosi had to cover up Biden's comments by having Adam Schiff file impeachment charges against President Trump for a quid pro quo with Ukraine, when in fact the catalyst for that was Joe Biden's diarrhea of the mouth. Now, here we have it once again, not for the first time, not for the second time, not for the third time, but Al, you just pointed out, this is now the fourth time that Joe Biden has spoken irresponsibly and recklessly. We cannot have this type of individual in the White House who has no mental capacity to think on his feet. And there is a reason why this man is not conducting White House interviews, White House briefings, to the tune of how President Trump did it on a daily basis. It's been, what, 125 days since Joe Obama has had a press briefing? 125 days. And they put him out in front on a one-on-one situation with 60 Minutes. And in less than an hour, he's created all kinds of controversy. And excuse my French, it creates a shitstorm, so much so that the White House has to walk back his comments for the fourth time on this very same issue. Joe Biden is extremely dangerous, and this guy has access to the nuclear codes?
Scary, especially now as China has been saber-rattling about Taiwan. In fact, they're sending troops right as we speak with the Russians into that conflict over there in the Ukraine. So there's a lot happening, and then he's late for the funeral.
Well, he's late for the funeral because he was stuck in traffic because he can't follow the freaking rules, the rule of law. But, you know, you said something.
This is a pattern. Yeah, a pattern of stupidity.
Right. Mm-hmm. You had said something way back when, right before Russia invaded Ukraine, and I remember this. You said, you know, it sounds to me, Vito, that that Biden is encouraging Russia to invade Ukraine. He's egging them on. And now we're back to the same situation with regards to communist China, and it's the same situation with this guy. talk about reckless. I mean, Jesus. So also last night, Joe Biden decided that they were going to talk about COVID, and the Führer, Adolf Biden, declared that COVID is over. Can you imagine that? Joe Biden declared that COVID is over. Okay, so the Das Führer has spoken. So I guess now all mask mandates and vaccine mandates are now nullified. That means that all pilots can go back to work. That means that everyone in the military now does not have to wear a mask. So under Adolf Biden, there have been 1,778,663 total deaths, with Adolf Biden being responsible for nearly 800,000 deaths. And remember, when Adolf Joe Biden stated President Trump should resign because of 220,000 deaths and he would end COVID, so far, with four times as many deaths, Joe Biden hasn't resigned. But listen, here's Joe Biden. This is candidate Biden in his own words. Remember now, candidate Biden loves to speak in sound bites and meaningless slogans.
220,000 Americans dead. If you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially, anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as President of the United States of America. We're in a situation where there are 1,000 deaths a day now.
Okay, there's no reason that was only going to be like 10 seconds left. But here you have a man Joe Biden, who doesn't take responsibility for his actions. He doesn't take responsibility for the 800,000 more deaths that have occurred under his watch. He doesn't take responsibility for the open borders. He doesn't take responsibility for the economy. He doesn't take responsibility for higher gas prices. I mean, can we get any more dishonesty from the liar in chief? Under Adolf Joe Biden, under his reign, the number of deaths are four times higher than what they were under President Trump when the little dictator Joe Biden made that statement. And you heard the statement in his own words. Once again. And again, here you have Joe Biden in a one-on-one interview with 60 Minutes, and his handlers have to be cringing because they don't know what's going to come out of this guy's mouth. And he talks about personal responsibility or taking responsibility, and he's yet to take responsibility for his lack of empathy and his failed fiscal policies. He continues to speak in meaningless slogans and empty sound bites. And it was the same just made for TV slogan last night. The petty little man tries so hard to be big man on campus, and that he takes no responsibility. 1,078,663 COVID deaths in America. 2,461,901 cases that are still active. 3,664 are serious or critical. We have a population of 335,009,000 people in the United States. And yet Joe Obama does not take responsibility for the additional 800,000 deaths due to COVID. This is the guy who says when he walks in the office, he's going to end COVID. Now, the fact that Joe Obama declared, or I should say Adolf Biden declares that COVID has ended, now he'll take responsibility. He'll pound his chest and say, I ended COVID. But 18 months later, he has yet to take responsibility for the 800,000 plus deaths under his reign. This is how dishonest and how this man lacks in transparency. And it's just pathetic. It's one lie after another with Biden. And it's why we won't see him in front of the cameras again for another 2 months.
Well, President Biden is the first person to single-handedly stop a virus without a vaccine. Got to give him some kudos for that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
well,
wait.
No.
I had it last week for the first time in 2 years, so it may not be completely true.
Yeah, but he did say that it was his administration that's responsible for the vaccine. So, again, yeah. Let's erase everything President Trump did. Now, whether you take the jab or not, and I will not take the jab at all. So now that he's ended COVID, does that end the vaccine mandates in states that still have this requirement or for federal jobs? How about that?
Hell no.
What?
We're also going to need voting by mail for anybody and everybody because it just has to be that way.
Well, why? I mean, if he's declared that. That's an interesting point, Al. That's a real interesting point because now Adolf Biden has declared that COVID is over. So then there's no reason to have mail-in ballots any longer because everybody can stand in line and vote on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November.
Well, I'll bet you a sleeve of Pro-V ones that there's going to be another disease come November.
I'm sorry. Not even a satirical way. I'll just give it a bit the sleeve of balls because I'm not going to take that bet. I mean, I'm a so-so gambler, but you know that one is pretty predictable. I mean, you know, if it wasn't,
but you ain't no fool.
I mean, thank you. I ain't no fool. All right. Have you heard this latest song that came out? And I think it may have been done for Glenn Beck, but I'm not sure. But Chad Prather and his wife CJ wrote and sung a song. It's titled Martha's Vineyard Invasion. Have you heard this thing? This thing is pretty cool. So Chad Prather and his wife CJ wrote the song. It's 1:37, and here it goes.
Yeah.
We wrote a song.
About Martha's Vineyard invasion.
Tragic. Hashtag Martha's Vineyard strong.
Pound Martha's Vineyard.
Bring your hungry.
Bring your weary.
Bring your sick.
And bring your poor.
But keep your
ass off Martha's Vineyard. Don't come back no more.
Chicago, not a
your hungry, bring your weary, bring your sick, and bring your poor, but keep your ass off Martha's Vineyard. Don't come back no more. They claim to have compassion, then promise streets of gold. When you come a-knocking, the signs all say we're closed. Bring your hungry, bring your weary, bring your sick, and bring your poor, but keep your ass off Martha's Vineyard. Don't come back no more. Keep your ass off Martha's Vineyard. They don't want you senior.
That's Chad Prather and CJ Prather in Martha's Vineyard Invasion song. And it has to do with Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis sending 50 illegal aliens to the posh sanctuary city of Martha's Vineyard.
What do you think about that tactic, that political tactic of sending these illegal aliens? First off, they are not migrants. They are illegal aliens, period. Now, what do you think about them sending illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard and other sanctuary cities like Chicago and New York?
Oh, I've got an opinion on that, Al. You have a second?
Well, we'll save it till it comes around at the right time. But.
Well, you know, I think DeSantis has exposed the left wing for the frauds they truly are. In addition to that, there was a coordinated hit tactic by the Democrat National Committee, the DNC, which distributed its talking points all across America to all of their Democrat operatives, their sycophants, and their minions, including the DNC state-sponsored media. And it's ironic because they all use the same language. And in doing so, and in trying to condemn, Governor DeSantis, these leftists actually validated why DeSantis sent the 50 illegal aliens to a sanctuary city in Massachusetts. It's incredible. I mean, it just goes to show how dishonest and disingenuous the left wing truly is. Because it's not about America. It's about them. It's about them. You know, what do you think about this? The migrants being sent to this posh island of Martha's Vineyard, Al?
Well, I think it exposes the Democrat Marxist hypocrisy in living color. 50 are virtue signalers to the extreme, very wealthy mansions. In fact, even President Obama has a mansion there on 46 acres, I believe, that is sitting empty as we speak. He could have taken these illegal aliens in, but their idea of being a sanctuary city and that we must care for the illegal aliens is for them within 24 hours to have them sent to an army base and off the island because they're all pieces of human garbage and exposes their hypocrisy. And I hope and I pray that Governor DeSantis is going to send another plane load up and another, and then a couple of big buses to boot, all to Martha's Vineyard, New York City, Chicago, and San Francisco.
The other day I was reading, it was September 15th, so it was Friday, I believe. I was reading bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And Big, thank you. You do a great job on your blog spot at www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. And the headline was in this one article, Chuck Todd, inhumane to send migrants to Martha's Vineyard because it doesn't have any infrastructure. And of course that caught my eye, and I, you know, reading the article, and it's like, oh my God, Chuck You're so full of crap. You're so full of crap. I mean, it is so comical that the excuses that the left wing is trying to perpetrate. And, you know, it's no longer comical. It's absolutely sickening. And I know we have a caller on that probably wants to talk about this. So let's bring him on right about now. And good evening, Das Viking. How are you?
Hello, boys.
Good evening. How are you?
I am just dandy.
Great.
You know, I'll be brief here because the fact of the matter is this is I was a huge fan of Andrew Breitbart because Andrew Breitbart got it. He was like the only person in the country way back when that understood that the enemy that we're up against is this media that reports nothing but lies and propaganda and never reveals the truth. And, you know, he made some serious strides in efforts to expose the fake news. And obviously Donald Trump was a huge supporter of that, because, you know, first of all, Trump got to find out firsthand how evil and backstabbing the media is. And, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, Donald Trump hasn't been around for, you know, almost 2 years. And I haven't seen I haven't heard a single Republican talk about fake news in a year in 9 months. Nobody ever talks about fake news anymore. But the point I want to make is this, is we have to understand, I have to understand myself. You know, I get my news from the Internet. I don't watch any news. I never watch Fox News. I never watch CNN, MSNBC. I don't even watch local news. I watch zero news. I get all my news from the Internet. You know, and I'm going to conservative sites. You know, I'm at Gateway Pundit or I'm at American Thinker or whatever. And I have to constantly remind myself that 90% of the American public right now thinks that Ron DeSantis just dumped these poor people on Martha's Vineyard, forced them onto these buses, bussed them halfway across the country, dumped them on the streets, and luckily, the Biden people up in Massachusetts were kind and gentle enough that they were actually able to find them a place to stay at a military base. That's what the people of this country see. That's why, you know, 81 million people believed that Donald Trump should have been impeached, that we had to get rid of him. And I think we have to understand because we get so involved in our conservative mindset. We think that everybody sees this shit the way we do, and they don't. And we rationalize it and we applaud it and stuff. But the hard cold truth is, most of the people in America don't see 1/100th of the stuff that we see, let alone figure it out. So, I mean, that's just my point. I'm very disappointed. I think Breitbart News is a joke. I think they've embarrassed themselves since taking over for Andrew. I think he's rolled over in his grave 100 times since his death because I think they've become this mainstream, you know, political news site and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, the cause of Andrew Breitbart was abandoned. His mission was to destroy CNN, was to destroy MSNBC. And they're still around and they're still misleading the public, and we've got no truth being told in this country. No truth.
You know, it's interesting that you make that comment. It really is. And the first thing I thought about was with the death of Andrew Breitbart, the abrupt death of him and the untimely death of Breitbart, like a Trump, was he getting too close? You know, he was hitting a nerve. People were slowly starting to understand because he spoke like you and I. He didn't speak over our heads. He broke it down. And I've got a rant for tonight on this whole thing, and I hope to break it down in such a fashion that people do understand, and then those of us that are, you know, the majority of listeners, they understand what's happening and how we're the orchestration of this. But nobody talks about the root cause of this whole, you know, illegal immigration. And that's something that Breitbart would have done. And it's almost like the people that took over were instructed, okay, it's time to abandon that scheme, that principle, and let's go and be more moderate, you know, because then this way everybody will like us. And that's not the intent, because Breitbart saw right through this entire facade, didn't he?
Well, and what Breitbart did, and this is what we haven't, nobody has done, is sometimes, you know, when you're up against a mighty foe, you know, like we are in this country. I mean, we just got a few Al's and Vito's and Holger's sitting around here up against, you know, an army of leftists and their paid media protectors and all that kind of. I mean, the odds are pretty stout. But what Breitbart used was he humiliated people, and this is, if you notice, that's what always pissed the left off the worst about Trump, is he humiliated people. And, you know, in normal society, you know, it's not a good thing to go and humiliate people. But when you're at war, you humiliate people. It's a very, very good weapon, you know. A great way to battle the Islamists is to humiliate them with their own holy book. You know, you guys have done that on this show. You've pointed out the hypocrisy of the Quran. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, imagine if there was a concerted effort to humiliate the thousands of journalists and the so-called journalists in this country. So in other words, if you printed something out, or you did an article on American Thinker or someplace where you basically listed 1,000 journalists from every mainstream media account in the world that's saying the exact same thing. You know, we've heard these audio clips, you know, where all the Democrats are all saying the same, you know, talking point. You do that with the journalists. You humiliate them and just say, okay, were all 1,000 of you in the same class at the same school with the same professor? You know, the whole point is if you asked every journalist in this country today who the most significant journalists in the history of this country are, they say Bernstein and Woodward and Bernstein, because they broke Watergate. So if you ask them, who's been the biggest since then, there would be nobody. They couldn't come up with a name because they all tout the same line. So in other words, if a journalist had thrown caution to the wind and did an expose series of articles on the spying conducted on Donald Trump, can you imagine? Woodward and Bernstein would be like a couple of Looney Tunes characters compared to that person. So, it's got to be, there's ways to get back at the media. It used to kill them when Donald Trump would get into a speech and talk about fake news, and somebody would hold up a sign saying CNN is fake news. It drove them batty.
That's for sure. Yes.
And that's what Andrew Breitbart did. And now what we resort to is nothing but this rational pointing towards hypocrisy. Oh, well, they're not, you know, they didn't really even cover this. Well, we all know that. But what Andrew Breitbart would have done with this Martha's Vineyard thing is he would have had a crew there. He would have had a crew there videotaping those people being loaded on these buses by National Guards troops and spun it in such a way, you know, where it would have been clear. And then he would have found a way to get that into the quasi-mainstream media. That was the brilliance of Breitbart. So anyway, I just miss him to death, and I'm just amazed that nobody, of course, I suppose, you know, not everybody wants to do the same thing and get killed like he did. but you know, we miss that kind of approach. And you know, I'm at the CNN site right now, and there absolutely isn't a single mention of Martha's Vineyard on here. Not a single mention.
Yeah, well, nothing. Hey, the National Guard's been dispatched, and the humanitarian efforts were to make sure that the 50 migrants have housing on a military base.
Oh.
Is that what you said?
Well, no, it frustrates the hell, you know. One last point, what's so frustrating is, if you recall, back when Trump was president, there all of a sudden there became this, the leftists tried this 25th Amendment thing. This was before the January 6th deal.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, they tried a stab at getting Trump removed by his cabinet using the 25th Amendment because he wasn't fit for office.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
Yep.
And they were, you know, they were digging through things, going through garbage and all this, trying to find all this stuff that proved that Donald Trump just wasn't all right in the head. Now, when's the last time you heard anybody in the media, anybody from the Republican side, anybody willing to stand up and say, here's a letter to the cabinet of this country demanding that Joe Biden be removed from office because of the inability to conduct his office of presidency?
Well, it won't happen because the Democrat Party is cohesive. They stick together. They cover for each individual, and it's very clear that Nancy Pelosi is covering very well for Joe Biden and the ills of Joe Biden. And we have a willing media. And it's funny because I heard Howie Carr today use the term state-run media, and it's the DNC state-run media that is covering for Joe Biden. There's no way, shape, or form that somebody with the mental inabilities that Joe Biden has should continue as president of the United States. There is no way. I mean, it was a coordinated hit job on Donald Trump, President Trump, every day, day in and day out. The 25th Amendment was another assault on President Trump. And yet they were offended by what President Trump stated and his speech, but they had no problem ridiculing and also furthering false reports on the man. They had no problem with that. But as soon as Trump challenged them, he was mean. Oh, he sent out mean tweets. Oh, he's unstable. And yet he's the only person, the only president, and I'm even going to say George H.W., Bubba Clinton, GHW, who actually spoke to the media every freaking day. And as he's walking out to Marine One from the White House, he took each and every news reader's questions and answered them. Now, I don't know how much more transparent you can get, not to mention we knew exactly what he was thinking because he put it out on Twitter. And yet they tried to destroy this man.
Yep. And Holger's right. The problem is with the Republican Party not filing impeachment. They should have filed impeachment the minute that the border was open. Never happened. The only person in the media newsroom that's questioning the Biden administration is Peter Ducey. And even his questions are, well, thank God he's asking them, but they're not even – they're factual and respectful.
Well, let me take it a step further, Al. Where's the video? Where's a video of a of Kevin McCarthy listing 10 or 12 instances of Joe Biden being unfit for office, just in his behavior, on decisions he's made, things that have happened, many of which we probably don't even know about. But where's this? Where's the video from Kevin McCarthy, along with the copy of it being sent to CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, all the rest of them? Here, I want this put out. The American people need to know this. Here's the video. Put it out there so that, you know, so at least somehow, some way, that gets leaked to the American people, that these people are hiding this stuff from you. You know, those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about impeachment. I'm talking about the 25th Amendment here. I'm talking about all his cabinet's got to do is vote him out. Just say he's unfit. But,
well,
you know,
McCarthy's got no balls. He's an establishment Republican. And the establishment Republicans are in the pocket of the DNC. And then the talking heads of the Republican Party who are a little bit angry, all they do is talky, talk. And that's it. No action.
Yeah. Well, you know, Vito, you put it out there. You know, the fact of the matter is that this is four times now. This is four times that Joe Biden, because he is the king of low self-esteem. This man is so embarrassed by his status as a loser. This man has been so fucking insecure ever since he was 4 years old. This guy thinks he's absolutely shit on the bottom of your shoe. That's what he thinks about himself. So he turned into this maniacal braggart, this guy who runs his mouth trying to be a big shot so people will pay attention to him, will think that he might have a brain inside of his head. He's constantly doing that. They call him gaffes. It's not a gaffe. It's just Joe Biden trying to make up for this horrible self-esteem he's got for himself. And you mentioned it four times. They had to walk back the fact that the United States policy is not to militarily defend Taiwan. They're not an official ally of ours. We've got no treaty with them. And four times he's basically has lied.
Yeah.
That we're going to defend Taiwan. He lied to the people. So if I'm in the room someday with all these big muckety mucks from the leftist side, I'm just simply going to say, here's the deal. When Joe Biden gets up and tells everybody that this is going to be the winter of death, if you don't get the fucking jab, we're all going to die. And 35% of us didn't get the jab because he always lies. He lied about Taiwan, and now we're supposed to believe him because he's talking about the pandemic. You know, that's the bare truth is when you've got the President of the United States who is not. The sad part of it is this, and then I'll get off. The sad part of it is when Joe Biden gets on that 60 Minutes thing and says that they will defend Taiwan, he's talking big because, you know, he's Joe the tough guy. He's a guy that beat the shit out of the black kid in the pool there back in Corn Pop days. Yeah,
oh,
I beat the shit out of him. Yeah, he's Corn Pop. Yeah, you know, that's just Joe trying to be big. That's what Barack Obama used to always say, well, that's just Joe being Joe, you know. That's like, you know, your Uncle Freddie at the family reunion when he gets drunk and pukes all over the picnic table. Well, that's just Uncle Ernie being Uncle Ernie, you know. And the point of the matter is Joe Biden says that we're going to defend Taiwan against China. And every world leader just laughs. They laugh their asses off. Oh, God, did you hear what the old man said today? Yeah, right. I mean, we are not even taken seriously anymore in this country. And you compare that to the uproar of Donald Trump when he misspelled the word coffee. That's the situation. All right, I got to go. Thanks for letting me call in, boys.
My pleasure, our pleasure, and you actually gave a good segue to my rant, Holger, and I hope you enjoy it. So sit back; it might be a few minutes, and you gave a great segue to it.
I'm strapped
great call,
in, baby.
Holger.
All right,
have a good week. Adios, amigo. See you
ciao,
at the Holger. Vineyard. Be there or be nowhere.
You mean Matt's Vineyard? You got to go. It's
right.
You have to say it right.
All our
Matt's
illegal
vineyard.
Alien friends.
Let's go to Matt's Vineyard and cross that bridge where Ted Kennedy was giving driving lessons.
Mary Jo Kopechne will not be there. Everyone's scratching. Who the hell's Mary Jo? Who's Mary Jo? Oh, jeez.
That was the woman that Ted Kennedy killed. Oh, all right.
Well, we know that. But everybody under 40 is like, Mary Jo who?
Who? Yeah, right. Well, you know, Holger did unknowingly throw up a lava softball there because it does take it into the rant. And with regards to it's time to call out individuals, the newspapers, the DNC newspapers who all use the same talking points. And they all use the same words and the same sound bites. And in this case, Al, it had to do with, you know, Governor DeSantis sending the 50 illegal aliens to a sanctuary city in Massachusetts, the posh and snob Martha's Vineyard. So Martha's Vineyard, where the elite liberals make their home and home to the rich and wealthy, such as elitist Oprah Winfrey, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and don't forget the wealthy, liberal, progressive Kennedys. And apparently cities who declare themselves sanctuary cities are sanctuaries in name only. They pretend to care in order to be perceived as gracious and tender. 50 illegal aliens land in Matthew's Vineyard, within 24 hours. 125 National Guardsmen are dispatched, and all 50 illegals are rounded up and shipped to Cape Cod, U.S. military base. That's pretty gracious and tender and pretty caring. And folks, that was within 24 hours of landing in Martha's Vineyard. 125 National Guardsmen are sent to Martha's Vineyard to round up 50 illegals. Now, keep in mind, that's 125 more National Guardsmen who were called in to protect the Capitol for the January 6th rally by Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of the District of Columbia. The theatrics by the left wing is laughable. And don't you just love these phony liberal elitists? In addition to the left wing descending to social media platforms such as Facebook and Twitter to exercise their campaign of deceit in using the DNC state-run media outlets such as the New York Times and LA Times. And a few days ago, the LA Times published a Democrat Party operative's article using the DNC talking points, you know, those meaningless slogans meant to tug at your heartstrings, such as the word cruel and inhumane and trafficking. So some old gent by the name of Bob Drogan was tapped to attack Governor DeSantis in an op-ed piece that was printed by the left-wing Times. I'm sorry, the LA Times. And in the article, and the op-ed was titled, "Ron DeSantis, Cruel Political Theater Falls Flat on Martha's Vineyard." I'm thinking, Governor DeSantis falls flat? Ron DeSantis is cruel? Flat-out lies by the liberal elites, deceiving and distracting the American people from the truth, from what's factually happening at the United States southern borders. And that's the plan of action. Distract from the U.S. southern borders being open, intentionally opening U.S. borders to millions of illegal aliens from 100 countries pouring through our open borders, intentionally opened by the Biden-Harris regime. The campaign of disinformation and misinformation by liberal elites because Governor DeSantis called Biden-Harris's regime's bluff for intentional failure of securing U.S. borders. Did Governor DeSantis' actions of sending 50 illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard fall flat, as the LA Times and Bob Drogan proclaimed? No. But what actually happened, Martha's Vineyard suddenly proclaimed a humanitarian crisis when 50 people, illegal aliens, descended on their quite posh city, their sanctuary city. This was not something flat, as the DNC media LA Times proclaims. Phony hypocrite. Elites on Martha's Vineyard quickly dispatched illegal aliens by calling on Massachusetts Governor Baker to send National Guards to remove 50 illegal aliens. And by the way, there are 50 job openings in Martha's Vineyard that they could have employed these people. 50. Since you're a sanctuary city, you don't need an ID to work in a sanctuary city. Martha's Vineyard proclaims a humanitarian crisis. The elite liberal sanctuary city are nothing but hypocrites and hysterics. I'd say that that didn't fall flat, LA Times. What it did was it exposed the left wings as frauds who want you and me to believe that they are compassionate. Well, Vito, they did give them Pop-Tarts and a home. They are not. They are humanitarians. No, they are frauds. They're duping the American people. The left-wing wokeness is a nightmare. The millionaire and billionaires are okay with illegal aliens invading your cities and your towns. But how dare you impose on our sanctuary city and send us illegal aliens? But it gets better, folks. In an attempt to disparage Ron DeSantis in the LA Times hit piece, the left-wing woke frauds unintentionally reveal their real hypocrisy. And in true woke fashion, op-ed author Bob Drogan omits one key factor: the intentional negligence of illegal aliens pouring through our southern borders by the millions is due to the Biden-Harris regime's national security failure to secure U.S. borders. Now, Drogan conveniently omits the fact that the borders are open and the negligence and intentional negligence of the Biden-Harris regime in his DNC hit piece. Because, see, that is the catalyst for the influx of illegals pouring into the United States. Distract by attacking America's governors, not standing for the Biden-Harris regime's national security failure, failing the American people and doing it intentionally. Op-ed writer Drogan, in a typical hypocritical fashion and unbeknownst to him, exposes the feigned outrage and flat-out disinformation propaganda campaign of the DNC state media, such as we see from NBC. Chuck Todd of Meet the Depressed proclaiming and also trying to condemn and indict DeSantis, that Martha's Vineyard does not have the infrastructure in place to take 50 illegal immigrants. Now think about this. National news readers such as Chuck Todd wants you to think a sanctuary city such as the posh Martha's Vineyard does not have the infrastructure. Oh my God, how do the millionaires and billionaires survive on Epstein Island? I'm sorry, I mean Martha's Vineyard. How in the world did 700 people descend on Martha's Vineyard to attend Barack Hussein Sator Obama's birthday? They flew their own jets and burned fossil fuel to attend Barack Hussein Obama's birthday. Interestingly and unwittingly, Bob Drogan's LA Times op-ed hit piece confirms Chuck Todd was lying. You see, Drogan stated, and I quote, "Vineyard has welcomed immigrants for years. Tourists come to Martha's Vineyard by the thousands each season." See, this is how phony the Democrat Party truly is and how destructive these anti-Americans truly are. Drogan cites thousands of tourists a year come to the island of Martha's Vineyard. 17,000 immigrants have come to the island over the years, and yet there is no infrastructure in place, states Chuck Todd. Yet there was enough infrastructure in place to accommodate 17,000 migrants who descend on Martha's Vineyard over the years, but no infrastructure in place to aid 50 illegal aliens. You see the hypocrisy? The Democrat Party is full of hypocrisy, and their left-wing progressive operatives are much the same. They all mimic the same talking points. They don't care about the truth. What they care about is disinformation and misinformation by the frauds of the left wing, and they're endless and they're shameless. Why the invasion into America by illegal aliens? Because the Biden-Harris regime failure to secure the U.S. southern borders. The campaign of disinformation by the DNC and their chimpanzees is shameless and endless. Distract from the facts, distract from the truth. You see, folks, the real story where the thread should start is what? Securing the U.S. southern borders. But there's no intention to secure the U.S. southern borders. So now let's go ahead and let's attack the governors of America who stand up to the globalist elites in Washington, D.C. The failure of Biden and his border czar, Word Salad Harris, to secure our nation's borders is a national security failure. And that is where this entire thread should start. However, the left wing does not want you to focus on the open borders, the national security failure by Biden-Harris, the open border mentality which threatens our republic's sovereignty. Ah, the dismantling of our constitutional republic. The left-wing propaganda is now to blame America's governors, not the anti-American Biden-Harris regime's destructive policies and their intentional destructive policies. So to go further into Bob Drogan's LA Times op-ed hit piece, Drogan proclaims if DeSantis hoped to spur anti-immigrant sentiment on the vineyard, it failed. Well, actually, Bob, let me tell you this. That's another falsehood by the destructive Democrat Party and the DNC. And you, by the way. It's a lie, Bob, and you know it. It's disinformation. You know, whether it's Governor Abbott or DeSantis or Ducey of Arizona, it's never about anti-immigrant sentiment. It's about national security. It's about securing U.S. borders. Oh, here's one for you, Bob. It's about the rule of law. you know, which is now a meaningless slogan uttered by Joe Biden and company when they get stuck, when they get cornered. The big man on campus likes to utter, it's the rule of law. It's about the inhumane treatment of the Biden-Harris regime, which places human beings in peril. The peril of a dangerous journey to an open border. The peril of drug cartels and facing human trafficking, rape, torture, and death. But remember, the propaganda campaign by the left is deception and distraction. Distract from the from Biden-Harris national security failures, the failure of securing U.S. borders, and being in lockstep with the anti-American United Nations while scrapping the rule of law. You heard that. You've heard that term, the rule of law. Well, how about U.S. law violation 8, U.S. code 1325? That's what happens when you illegally enter the United States of America. Hey, the United States has a rule of law. Drogan's op-ed goes on to read, Governor Abbott and Governor Ducey of Arizona have bused about 10,000 migrants to D.C. overwhelming services in the District of Columbia. Well, Bob Drogan, why is that? Because Biden-Harris regime failed their national security responsibilities to secure the U.S. borders. And guess what? If it's overwhelming New York and District of Columbia, then it's overwhelming Texas and Arizona and Florida. But hey, let's not talk about that. 10,000 migrants in the state of Illinois. 22,000 people are in the state custody. And it's costing the state of Illinois $1.5 billion to take care of 22,000. And yet the DNC, Bob Drogan, and the LA Times have no problem with the billions of dollars it's costing the state of Texas and the state of Arizona. How dare you inflict that pain, that financial pain on the District of Columbia and the state of New York. In Bob Drogan's attempt to smear Governors Abbott and Ducey of Arizona, he once again, in attempting to take the offensive, exposes the fiscal irresponsibility of the Biden-Harris regime, which is inflicted on cities in America. Bob then writes, DeSantis isn't alone, of course. Republican Governors Abbott of Texas and Doug Ducey of Arizona have bused about 10,000 migrants to Washington, D.C. since April, overwhelming services so badly that last week the District of Columbia Mayor Muriel Bowser declared a public emergency. On Thursday, two buses from Texas dropped 101 migrants from Colombia, Venezuela, and other countries near Vice President Kamala Word Salad Harris's official residence. You see the impact of allowing illegal entry into the United States? Left-wing mayor of Washington, D.C., who enjoys condemning the GOP. Governors, while speaking with a forked tongue, know firsthand the financial impact of illegal migration to their budgets. D.C. is not alone. New York Mayor Adams bemoaned how the influx of illegal aliens has strained their budgets and social services. Why? Because these services have already been budgeted items and money allocated, and now 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 people to social services is added. You think Arizona and Texas aren't feeling the cost of millions coming across the border in their respective states? D.C. and New York City, you're a sanctuary city. Where is your compassion? Their fraudulence has been exposed. And you think the taxpayers of Arizona and Texas aren't impacted by the Biden-Harris regime intentionally ignoring America's southern borders? No, it's Biden who is inhumane. It is the Democrat Party who are inhumane. Illegal aliens flooding through our southern borders by the millions and from up to 100 countries from around the world. Pakistan, Indonesia, Ukraine, Afghanistan, Communist China, and Venezuela, to name a few. It's now reported Venezuela has emptied their prisons like much like Cuba did back in 1980. And those people are going to be coming into America seeking to cross our borders illegally. Criminals, again, a national security threat, and it's caused directly by Biden-Harris regime. And now, dangerous Dopey Joe wants to commit U.S. troops to defend a foreign country's borders, yet refuses to defend and secure the United States borders. Joe Biden is a dangerous dictator, an anti-constitutionalist, and yes, he is an anti-American. The propaganda campaign of Democrat National Committee is to go on the offensive and change the narrative from the root cause of illegal migration and distract by distributing their talking points, slogans, and meaningless sound bites to their mules in the state-run media outlets such as the LA and New York Times, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, PBS, the Propaganda Broadcasting System, and the Democrat Party minions around the country. The new slogans and sound bites this past week to use the word such as cruel, inhumane, trafficking to describe Governor DeSantis sending 50 illegal immigrants to a sanctuary city who once declared they cared. A sanctuary city who cared. Oh, and I forgot the other orchestrated terms being used, human trafficking, and DeSantis broke the law. Yeah. Yet the busing and flying of illegal aliens from the southern border areas by Biden is not inhumane. It's not human trafficking. It's not inhumane treatment of migrants. Flying people in the dead of night without the knowledge of state governors is not inhumane. It's not trafficking. Oh, that's right, because it's a Democrat president who did it. That's right. Yet Democrat Party and the minions have been silent and by design. You know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz hasn't said a damn word about migrants being sent to Florida in the dead of night. Flying people in the dead of night without the knowledge of state governors, yet the Democrat Party and their minions have been silent by design. The Democrat Party cannot expose Joe Biden's failure to secure the U.S. border because they want the U.S. border to fail. They want it open. Joe Biden is failing national security by trafficking illegal aliens in the dead of night to cities and towns across America. And apparently, these actions are not inhumane for the Democrat Party and the left wing in America. Hell, it's not even for the rhinos in Congress. It's not inhumane. It's a normal practice to use and abuse people, especially illegal aliens, and then lie to the American people. Even Democrat Party mule Nikki Fried, who's the Florida Secretary of Agriculture, showed her feigned out and orchestrated outrage by tweeting last week she has filed charges with the DOJ against Governor DeSantis. Now, this fraud, Nikki Fried, a sitting member of the Florida cabinet and former candidate for governor of Florida this past year, never expressed her outrage, nor had she filed charges with the DOJ against the Biden-Harris regime for trafficking illegal aliens to Central Florida in the dead of night. In one instance, up to 230 illegal aliens were sent to Central Florida, and they were sent to stay at an extended stay facility on a Saturday night, 4:30 in the morning. Democrat mule Nikki Fried was running for governor at the time, yet she never addressed the stress and strain on Florida city budgets, as well as the impact on state budgets and the state Medicaid system of illegal aliens trafficked to Florida by the Biden-Harris regime. The propaganda undertaken by Nikki Fried is dishonest and fraudulent, but that's the Democrat Party. You see, Fried failed to address the root cause of illegal immigration, and that is Joe Biden's open border policies. Families trekking thousands of miles, spending thousands of dollars to cartels and human traffickers to enter the United States illegally, risking harm from traffickers, such as being beaten, raped, and yes, even death. Migrants risk losing their lives while being transported in containers by 18-wheelers, suffocating and dying during that journey. And that's inhumane Joe Biden's failed open border policies to blame. It has nothing to do with Governor Abbott, Governor DeSantis, or Governor Ducey. It has everything to do with the failed open border policies of the inhumane Joe Biden. Illegal aliens risking their lives because they know Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have opened U.S. borders, encouraging illegal entry into the United States, ignoring rule of law. Violation 8, U.S. Code 1325. And the Biden-Harris regime encourages breaking U.S. law. Human traffickers smuggling children and women, abusing them, and using them for prostitution, sending these victims to cities across America illegally. Brothels set up in New York City by Mexican drug cartels. Those are facts. You see, the attacks on Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott are to distract from the facts. The Democrat Party intentionally ignores the grave elements migrants endure and the thousands and thousands of dollars they pay cartels and smugglers to illegally enter the United States of America. Joe Biden has been silent. Border Czar Kamala Word Salad Harris has been silent. The Democrat Party and DNC have been silent. Democrat minions across America have been silent. The offensive is to distract from the facts. Do not address the root causes of illegal migration into the United States. Shamelessly blame the previous administration for your own failures. As you heard Joe Obama talking about as candidate Biden about President Trump taking responsibility, Joe Biden fails to take responsibility for anything he's done. Sanctuary cities who profess they cared quickly proclaim a humanitarian crisis, and they abandon the very people they falsely claim to help, the illegal aliens. And Martha's Vineyard is the perfect example of that hypocrisy. Not in my backyard. But I'm going to end on a positive note, ladies and gentlemen. We are Americans. We were born. We were not born a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian. We were not born into a political party. We were born Americans. When we are born, there is no color barrier. We are born Asian, Black, Hebrew, white. It doesn't matter. We are God's precious child. We are a female or a male. When we're born, females have vaginas. Males have penises. Two sexes. And of course, the woke cancer culture would like to change that. But let's deal with reality. There are two sexes, female and male. Names are given by the parents to that newborn child. There's no party affiliation. Vito, a Republican. Vito, a Democrat. Al, Republican. Al, Democrat. No. Our parents give us a name. No party affiliation. Why? Because we're born in America. We are Americans. Whether you're born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Amarillo, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, Anchorage, Alaska, or Asheville, North Carolina, we are Americans. If you're born in Boston, Massachusetts, or Boston, Butte, Montana, Baltimore, Maryland, Berkeley, California, or Bridgeport, Connecticut, we are Americans. If you're born in New York City, New York, Carson City, Nevada, Fargo, North Dakota, Hershey, Pennsylvania, Nashville, Tennessee, Roanoke, Virginia, Little Rock, Arkansas, Seattle, Washington, we are Americans. We are Americans before we are Democrats, before we're Republicans or Libertarians or any other party you want to join as an adult. Why have we forgotten that very thing? Is it intentional to forget that important issue? We are Americans first, yes. And why is that? To divide the United States of America. You see, especially conservatives, we don't care what color you are, despite the left wing's attempt to falsely label conservatives. We don't care what your sexuality is. We care first. We are Americans. So let's start by changing around that hyphen and put America first. We are proud to be Americans. Do I enjoy my family heritage? Being from Italy? Being Italian? I sure as hell do. If you're Irish and your grandparents or great-grandparents hailed from Ireland, be proud of that, and I'm sure you are. Or if they were from Australia, New Zealand, or France, or Finland, or Japan, or Korea, be proud of that. But we're Americans first, especially if we were born in America. America is our home. It is a place that God gave us the opportunity to live our lives. I am an American, a second generation of Italian descent, and I'm proud of that heritage. But I'm mostly proud of being an American, and you should too. Let's change that narrative and do it today. God bless America. Al.
That was an excellent rant. I am fired up. And you know who else is fired up?
Who?
Fetterman. Remember Fetterman?
Yes. He's the candidate for senator, right, from Pennsylvania?
That is correct. And he had a big bulbous thing on his neck, which we still don't know about. But he has outdone himself. Reported today, Fetterman voted to free murderer innocent man to death with garden shears.
Say that again. You broke up.
Fetterman voted to free a murderer who hacked innocent man to death with garden shears.
Oh.
Charles Zeke Goldblum was sentenced to life in prison for killing a man with garden shears in a parking garage in downtown Pittsburgh and later trying to hire a hitman to kill his accomplice in the brutal murder. As Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, Senate hopeful John Fetterman voted to set Goldblum free in 2009 and said he was happy when the killer was released from prison last year. That is the problem with the Democrat Party, right there.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe this?
Yes, I can. I can believe it, honestly. I can believe it. There's no accountability. And, you know, the way the DNC media, the state-run media, would excoriate a Republican candidate for senator, for governor, for some political office, they would rake that individual through the coals.
Yeah. Well, it gets worse. I mean, you remember our running away from Afghanistan, leaving Bagram Air Force Base. President Obama saying that we will leave no person left behind.
Oh, you mean
remember
Biden?
Those words?
Yep. Yeah, I remember a bunch of words from Biden. Go ahead.
Who was held in Afghanistan for 2 years. He was released in exchange for a Taliban drug lord. You won't be hearing about this in the news. Mark Fricks, a Navy veteran who was abducted while working as a contractor more than 2 years ago, is heading home after being freed by the Taliban in exchange for a Taliban drug lord who's been in U.S. custody for 17 years, a senior official told reporters on Monday. A former Navy diver, Freaks was reportedly working on civilian engineering projects when he was taken prisoner by the Haqqani network on January 31st. 2020. The Navy diver is working on civilian engineering projects like building schools, building roads, and trying to better the country of Afghanistan and bring him into the modern day. For his efforts, he was held captive by the Haqqani network and then held basically for ransom for a drug dealer. A Muslim drug dealer, Taliban drug dealer. President Biden freed the drug dealer to get this guy Freaks, and we're glad to have him home, but at what a cost. That's the iceberg of the crap going on in Afghanistan.
Yeah, after Biden claimed that Afghanistan withdrawal was extraordinary success, are we missing something? I mean, what are we missing here with regards to it's just one failed policy after another? It was as bad as Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama exchanging an army deserter for five Taliban terrorists. The five Taliban terrorists who started the Taliban, they were in the hierarchy of the Taliban. They were the ones that orchestrated the Taliban's actions. And Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama exchanged them for an army deserter who actually got his fellow soldiers killed who were looking for him when he deserted. Right.
Yep. Joe Biden is a real piece of work. He's not good for America. And he needs to be impeached, which we talked about a little bit earlier. But the Republicans aren't going to impeach him. Sad but true.
It is sad but true. Matter of fact, by the way, to your point on Fetterman, Bigfoot put the link in the chat room of Fetterman voted to free murderer who hacked innocent man to death with garden shears, and you know the. That's egregious. That's brutal. But then he also hired a hitman to kill his accomplice in the brutal murder. So I mean,
hired a cop.
Yeah. What are we missing in this part, Al? I mean, it's one thing, okay, if somebody, you know, accidentally did something to somebody else, but to intentionally kill somebody with garden shears, that's brutal. And then hire a hitman to kill your accomplice. And Goldblum was stabbed 26 times, the victim. Oh, my God. It's just – it's absolutely incredible.
I think we should send Goldblum to Martha's Vineyard.
Well, I'm not sure they have the infrastructure in place to take a killer unless he wants to be a landscaper because he's exhibited the fact that he can use garden shears, so obviously he can probably be a good gardener. But you know what? Don't piss him off because he'll stab you to death.
That's true. His resume is strong when it comes to lawn maintenance. So
here we have a candidate for the U.S. Senate as a lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. He agrees to free this murderer who is given a life sentence for killing a man and then hiring a hitman. I just, you know, in the old days, 1970s and 80s, if you conducted yourself in this manner, you'd be ridden out of town. You wouldn't be able to run for the highest office, in Congress, the United States Senate. You would be summarily rejected. And if you had any mental issues, you'd also be rejected.
Right. Now, the only news outlet that's reporting these two stories are Free Beacon, as Bigfoot put up there and is from his page as well, is the Jewish Voice. And that's it. The media, it's a story.
Yeah, and okay, so here we go. The DNC state media, we just talked about the coordinated hit job on Governor DeSantis with regards to the 50 illegal aliens and how it was a coordinated hit attack by the same DNC state-run media, ABC, NBC, CBS, the public broadcasting, the propaganda broadcasting station, LA and New York Times. They all organized the same hit piece. Now, that was against a Republican governor who's running for re-election, and it's imperative that the DNC state-run media do everything they can to create negative news for the spineless spaghetti-spined Charlie Crist, who was an absolute failure. He was a disaster as governor the first time around. And now on the other side of the coin, you have Fetterman, who does this heinous act of rewarding a first degree murderer and a guy who also wants to, you know, hire a hitman to kill his accomplice, and the same DNC media who excoriates Abbott and DeSantis absolutely is hands off on Fetterman, including his medical issues that he's having. It's he's as bad as Joe Biden, although Biden is worse when he doesn't have a teleprompter in front of him, but it's as bad as Joe Biden when he's trying to speak. Does that tell you anything about the state of the media in this country, bought and paid for by the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, beholden to the left wing in America, and really they're not doing their job? There's no objectivity by these people anymore. They have taken a stand. It's a one-party system. They will fight for the communists in Washington, D.C. They'll fight for the communist, a.k.a. the Democrat Party, the anti-constitutional and anti-American Democrat Party.
I just want to know what Fetterman's pronouns are. As I heard, I can't guarantee that this is true, but I heard they're he, stool.
Stool? Huh.
Stool.
Why stool?
Because he's a stool sample.
Oh. Holy crap. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Take that to the New York Times.
Yeah. You know, you brought up Afghanistan, and, you know, here we got Joe Biden is claiming, you know, extraordinary success in the wake of 13 American soldiers being killed in Afghanistan, and how the United States fled under, you know, Biden's lack of leadership. And you think about how the media went after George W. Bush when he declared, what, Operation Complete or something like that. And yes, it was a bit premature, but here you have Biden, who's claiming victory in light of leaving $80 billion of U.S. equipment in Afghanistan, fleeing Afghanistan, leaving behind Americans, leaving behind your citizens, and then proclaiming victory in the fall of with the fall of Afghanistan. I just
hey, even worse, President Biden, when he left Bottom Air Force Base to the Chinese are now strip mining every rare earth metal and mineral in the soil in Afghanistan to make the EV batteries for the electric cars that he's pushing.
Yeah.
Now, the Chinese are smart because they don't give a rat's ass if the Muslims in Afghanistan kill each other, whether the Sunnis kill the Shia or the Shia kill the Sunnis, or whether the women go to school or not. They could care less. They leave the Taliban alone. The Taliban says, we'll let you mine all these minerals out of our soil. You just give us a big paycheck, which they are. And that is all Biden policy that nobody's talking about.
You know, Biden has adopted the MAD principle. MAD, making America dependent. That's the MAD policy. This is a mad man. The wicked man in the White House, Joe Biden, is mad, making America dependent. And that's exactly what he's done. He did that quite quickly with the U.S. oil at the pump. We are paying dearly. And now he's pounding his chest. Oh, look, gas prices have come down, you know, 43% or 50%. Yeah, but Joe, they're still up 73% from when you took office January 20th of 2021. And then you summarily took America off of energy independence and being a prime exporter of oil around the world, you made us dependent once again. So really, the slogan for Joe Biden is MAD, making America dependent. And he certainly has. He's making Americans dependent upon foreign sources of oil, Russia, Venezuela, and the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. He's making America dependent upon foreign sources of oil. He's making America dependent, making Americans dependent upon the federal government. And it's just, it's amazing that this man is allowed to continue to get away with what he's done. Just in 18 short months, we are watching this, Al.
Yep. Not good for Team America, I can tell you that.
No, it's not good for Team America. And you know, as he continues to lie, and then he places, you know, again, Joe Biden opens his mouth to change feet, and he did it again yesterday with regards to Taiwan. And it's just truly incredible that not one Democrat Party person has come out and condemned the comments of Joe Biden. Not one. Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, and Holger repeated, four times now the White House has had to walk back his comments about communist China. Four times. And you can't take the United States cannot defend, doesn't have a legal obligation to defend Taiwan. This is reckless.
Yeah. We also have another strange story. Democrat Marxist Karen Bass. Her house was burglarized last week. She's from the strange story of the recent burglary of Los Angeles home of Representative Karen Bass, Democrat Marxist from California. It led to open speculation about the circumstances of the crime, the arrest of two suspects, and the unusual bail arrangements for them. What was stolen were two guns from this anti-gun Democrat, and one of the thieves was let go. The other one had a high bail. So one, what is an anti-gun Democrat doing with guns in her house? And why were the guns the only things that were stolen in this strange burglary?
Rules for thee, but not for me.
Right, and we will hear nothing more about this story forever and ever and ever.
Forever and ever. Of course we won't.
Meanwhile, what we will hear about...
Oh. Hello, Al, you there? Oh, I guess we lost Al. There's a little bit of a thunderstorm. I think he's in between here. But one story that has appeared in Jihad Watch, I thought to bring up really quick here. Azerbaijani soldiers stab and rape and dismember female Armenian soldier, and they video their crimes. And this is absolutely sick. Quran 48:29, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are ruthless against the unbelievers and merciful among themselves. Details of atrocities committed by Azerbaijani forces during their attack on Armenia this week were presented to Armenia's foreign diplomatic corps, who met with the Army Chief of Staff Edward Azarian on Friday in Jarmuk, the site of the heaviest shelling. Among the examples Assyrian recounted was the brutal mutilation of a female Iranian soldier who was captured by Azerbaijani forces. The army chief said he would show a video of the attack to diplomats. And it's just an absolute heinous crime. Heinous. Heinous crime. They committed atrocities in our combat positions against our servicemen, including women soldiers, Assyrian said. I cannot find a word to describe how they dismembered a female soldier, cut off her legs, fingers, stripped her naked. This is unheard of cruelty. A graphic video depicting the attack that Assyrian described has been circulated on social media on Friday. Azbaraz reviewed the video but will not publish it due to its graphic nature and the facts it's authentically could not be corroborated. The soldier identified as Anush Apetyan, 36, a mother of three children, was reportedly captured alive in Jarmuk, then raped, tortured, and dismembered by Azerbaijani soldiers. They put her severed fingers in her mouth and gouged out her eyes. What a bunch of sick bastards. Absolutely sick. This is the religion of peace. Chapter 4. Verse 84 simply states, so engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. It's nauseating to see what these are Azerbaijani soldiers did to this woman. Now, I know it's war, but that is absolutely a heinous crime. Oh, jeez. Al, I hear you back.
Yeah, got disconnected.
Yeah, no problem. Just, I don't know if you saw that story that was in Jihad Watch, but it's absolutely sick. And, you know, look, you never know what's going to happen in war, but to conduct and make such a heinous crime by these people, talk about war crimes, that is the epitome of war crimes. But nothing will happen. You know, this is, oh my God. I started reading, it's like, you know, go ahead. Never mind.
No, keep going.
No, I just reading this and just, you know, they did this to the Yazidis. The Muslims did this to the Yazidis, and now they're doing this to the Armenians, and it's absolutely sick what's being done. And this reminds me of what my father told me, a story back in what he encountered in World War II, and they were walking through Bastogne, and they just got done with a 15-mile march. He says 15 or 16. He said, it didn't matter. He says, we were tired. He says, but we walked through. We're marching through Bastogne, and we see these bales of what we thought was hay and fields. And we had two runners go out and check to make sure that there were no Germans out there to secure the location. And when they came back, one of them was pale, and the other was crying, had tears in his eyes. And to figure out what was going on, and it turned out that the stacks of what they thought were hay were American paratroopers. And the Nazis had killed the American paratroopers. They cut up their genitals and they stuffed it in their mouth. And my father firmly believed at that point, that was the turning point of the war. They were tired. The Yanks they weren't defeated, certainly, but they were tired and they just wanted to move on. He says, but that gave us an energy that we were never going to lose. And he firmly believed that was the turning point of the war. It was such brutality, and what they saw, what the Nazis did to American soldiers, he says, it pissed us off. He says, we didn't care that we did a 15 or 20 mile hike. We were ready. We were ready to take on the Nazis at any location, any time of the day or night. We were ready. It's like, whoa. Now, my father told me a couple of stories, but that was probably the most graphic one that he told me. And it's like, just incredible, just incredible. I mean,
well, if you think the Chinese aren't as brutal, you're sadly mistaken. The Chinese are worthy adversary, just like the followers of Islam. Dream brutal war.
Vietnam? You want to talk about Vietnam?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Communists.
Communists.
China.
And the communist Chinese government was supplying and arming the North Vietnamese as well as supplying manpower to the North Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were using the communist Chinese in Vietnam were using the same tactics as far as cutting off body parts and shoving them in our soldiers' mouths and leaving those as calling cards.
And they learned it from the Nazis.
Mm-hmm. We could have won that war, but we didn't have the will to win. Because the communists were here in the United States leading the opposition and leading the peace movement, quote-unquote peace movement, and that's what lost our will to fight that war. It was an influence operation of the highest order.
Wasn't it Walter Cronkite who reported that the Tet Offensive was lost by the United States when, in fact, the United States did win the Tet Offensive and we had the North Vietnamese reeling? And that quickly changed the tide with the irresponsible and reckless reporting by Walter Cronkite.
Yep, and it's been reported time and time again that the Chinese money and influence in the Black Lives Matter Marxist communist movement is strong and active and substantial as far as they're planning the BLM movement. That's another insider. Yeah, that's another insider influence operation. That's still ongoing.
You also have to say with the Black Lives Matter. I mean, to piggyback off of what you said, the Black Lives Matter part of it is the Democrat Party supports 100% Black Lives Matter and excuses their actions and their violence. And Jerry Nadler, has proven that. Mm-hmm. It's just we have a tough road ahead, and certainly this midterm election is going to speak volumes. And do we allow the continuing of this radical anti-American, anti-constitutional agenda by the Biden-Harris-Pelosi regime? Or do we change courses and we start taking this country back? Because we are Americans, and it's time to take this country back. This radical, mad policy, making America dependent, is killing the American dream. It's killing the American people. It's killing our pocketbooks. It's killing our retirements, and for no reason whatsoever. And to also create debt to unsustainable nature. It's just, it's truly incredible, Al. So we got about, 3.5 minutes left. So tomorrow night, Eric's going to be taking a vacation for the next couple of weeks. So Wednesday is Hank Jones and Polly Sports. We'll probably have a sub in for tomorrow at six or 7 p.m., but we'll post it up on Twitter. Wednesday is Hank Jones and Polly Sports at 5:30. Hank's got a great show, and I'm sure that we continue their college football discussion. Thursday, we got Paul Sutliff with The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, the author of that. He's a Salafian Report at 6 p.m. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday at 11 or 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Check his show on Friday. Saturday, Minister Simon Dacduck and a beautiful Christian revealing the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, also will be Eric will be off on Sunday, so this Sunday we'll hopefully have a stand-in for him. And Monday, Al and I will be back. I just want to say that there's certainly two men, Minister Simon Dacduck and Eric, who are bullied because of their views, their free speech. And so, folks, let's not take our free speech for granted. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, grant you the right to free speech. You may not agree with that speech, but it gives us the right. And when we use factual information, such as the Quran, and we're bullied for that reason, we're not going to tolerate that. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Airwaves of America, G-Ski, keep G-Ski in your prayers, Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. She's on Fridays from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with her great sidekick, the author, Curtis Bennett. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. You want a break from politics and Islam, and you want a great self-help show, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Spreaker.com. And then Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Great show. She had great guests last week, including Lieutenant Colonel Alan West and Diane West. I just love Diane West. I don't know why. She is fantastic. And maybe because it's a World War II connection. Both of our fathers, they didn't know each other, but both of our fathers served in World War II. So I have a soft spot. She has a great book, Diane West. And also check out www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Big does a lot of great work in putting that blogspot together. Put that on your agenda to read every morning. I want to thank Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, for all you do. And thanks for that video of Joe Biden getting stuck in traffic, the last one to arrive at the Queen's funeral, the first one to leave, wouldn't even meet with the new Prime Minister of the UK. That's how classless Joe Biden is. And thank you, Ducky. Good to see you. And Hank was in the house earlier. And thank you all in podcast land for joining us this evening. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week.
Hey, that was a fast 2 hours. Thank you all for joining us. You guys be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. And let's not forget, we are Americans. God bless you. Ciao, everyone.
That's all, folks.
Ooh, I was off by a second. 2 seconds. Damn it.
That went fast.
That sure did.
Good rant.
Thank you. Thank you. That took up a lot of time. Sorry about that, but I just, man, I started writing and it was like, and then I forgot to give props to iGuy because he's the one that turned me on to that LA Times op-ed piece. And it's just, you know, the coordinated hit attack by the Democrat Party on Ron DeSantis to distract from the real cause, the root cause of illegal immigration into the United States that, you know, on Friday, truly incredible, Al. And I'm sure you saw, but truly incredible. Every Democrat operative that was on Twitter, every one of them had the same words in their slogans, had the same words. And that was inhumane, cruel, and broke the law. Every one of them, including Meathead from Archie. I mean, he sent out the dumbest tweets. It's unbelievable. And you know, when you start seeing that, and then the LA Times op-ed piece, that confirmed that this was all orchestrated outrage, again, to distract from the root cause of illegal immigration, illegal migration, and that is the failure to secure our borders.
Sure. I think it's signaling to me is that they're going to file a lawsuit against Governor DeSantis, and because that's who the Democrats are and what makes them so effective. They don't care if they're right or wrong, and they know that if they file the lawsuit, it'll slow down DeSantis.
Yeah, exactly.
Going into November, and they'll do it.
Great point. Great point. Well, Nikki Freed did it. She filed a charges with the DOJ, and so now we know that the partisan and corrupt DOJ led by Merrick Garland, you know, they'll follow through on that. And in order to disparage Ron DeSantis and create that negative press, because Charlie Crist is so far behind, you know, Floridians and people are still alive and still in Florida who remember Charlie Crist as governor and how bad he was. The problem is that the new people don't know. And so now, of course, the Democrat Party is banking on the new arrivals to fall for this pretty boy fraud, Charlie Crist. You know, Florida small businesses, it doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. You're back open. You've been open. Why? Because of the leadership of Ron DeSantis. Governor DeSantis knew it would be wrong to close close small businesses. And the fact is, it's a virus, okay? The China virus is a virus just like the flu. And all of a sudden, we have to stop commerce in Florida? That wasn't going to happen. And that's why Ron DeSantis is successful as governor, bringing businesses here to Florida, people migrating from northern states because of how oppressive the policies were. And even left-wingers, okay, left-wing anti-American radicals like Alexandria Cortez, like Eric Fang Swalwell, like the governor of Illinois. Where did they go for vacation? Where did Nancy Pelosi buy a house? Okay, in Florida. Why? Because Florida didn't have the oppressive restrictions that other states had. And now they're condemning, you know, DeSantis for opening the state, when in fact these same fraudulent liberals, these same left-wing elitists took advantage of the open door policy. Unfucking believable what these people, you know, how hypocritical these people are. Goodness gracious. God, I just, you know. Anyways, I think I lost Al again. Hey, Sue, great article in Twitter you put in there. The Secret Schumer Mansion. So, all right, good night, everybody. You take care. Be safe out there. Be aware.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.